I've always felt as captain, you're only as good as your bowlers, firstly, but then you're obviously as good as the rest of the team as well.
That is what you call an introduction, and that is how you introduce captain, my captain. Okay. What's going on? My name is PH of the Shady Podcast, and that guy is Shady of the Podcast.
Shady of the PH.
What's happening, boss? Hey, you look broken.
It was a rough weekend, bro.
My brother, you look like the weekend.
A new Temba Bavuma's coming today, so I said,
sorry, I can't hear your voice.
How's my voice, eh?
It's gone.
You know, I used to have this voice on radio every Monday to Wednesday.
Okay.
Thursday, my voice came right. But Monday to Wednesday, this was me. So people thought this is how I speak. But this is not how I actually speak, fortunately.
Why are you going back to your old ways? What's happening, boss?
I think I've got to make a return to my old ways.
Hey, you know what I mean? We don't want the shady look.
You know, have you ever felt like sometimes you're like, the game needs me?
The game needs me.
You know what I'm saying? Or you're like, nah, the game needs me.
Well, when you're the captain, yes, the game.
Yeah, I'm the captain of this other game. You know what I mean? I'm the Temba Bavuma of the jewel.
Yes, sir. And that's how we get into it. Boss, Johnny, right?
No, good, man. Yourself?
Good, man. I'm alive. Sure. I'm alive. Happy to have you here. It's an honor, actually, to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
This man has represented us in many instances, and to have the captain of...
of the Proteas, bro.
Yeah, that's an honor. Yeah.
It is an honor. And today we're talking about you. We're not talking about my captainship.
Please.
Because most of what I do in my leadership position, I can't speak about on the podcast.
We'll keep it clear.
We got to keep it clear.
His captaincy has too many fines.
Okay.
There's too many fines. There, the
suspensions and shit.
Buddha, I think we'll get into the most recent thing. There's obviously lots to unpack. There's many questions, you know, that we would love to ask, but the most important thing is, how does it feel, you know, coming from like a boys' school and the history of, or at least for me, the relatability, where you run onto the first team field or the main field, and it's in some Dutch guy, Afrikaans guy, Smazi, the contribution that person made, but for you, you know, to be named after... off the cricket field, you know, from a prestigious school as well. How does that feel? And what does, you know, does that give you that, like, yeah, man, of the many things that you've done for this country, how does that make you feel? Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think definitely go down as part of my legacy.
Sure.
I think it gives a lot of nigamandla. I mean, it gives a lot of credence to everything that I've done, everything that I've gone through.
Sure.
The sacrifices that my parents and family did to at least give me an opportunity,
sure.
You know, at a better life. And I hope it can also inspire other
players,
you know, players, like-minded individuals who I never went to St. David's by my own means.
Sure.
I was, I guess, identified as a young guy, got given a sports bursary or scholarship. They said, come here, come play a bit of cricket, do your academics as well.
Sure.
And, you know, I went there as just an ambitious guy, an ambitious kid. Never really understood the privilege that I had at that time. But I just wanted to make the most of the opportunity that I had.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, I think, that's a big thing, not just for me, but for the family as well.
Where were you coming from, Timber, what grade were you in when you attended St. David's?
So grade 10. So I grew up in Cape Town. Got the chance to go to SACS there from primary school, from about grade 3, grade 4. And then moved up to Johannesburg grade 9. Did a year at Four Ears High. That was very fun. Coming from a boys' home, to a four-way high.
Into co-ed.
Into co-ed. In four ways.
In four ways. No, deep end.
But then from there, grade 10, got into St. David's, finished off there, did my post-matric.
Tell me, because the reason I'm asking is because I'm trying to get my kids into St. David's. So now
that we have a friend.
Yeah. That scholarship, so when you got the scholarship, was it because they identified you or... Where did they see you? At Four Ways High?
So, at Four Ways, I mean, we played in a...
Four Ways High was losing.
Those under 14.
Then, yeah, and this man was the breakout star. Yeah.
We had a cricket week. We had a, I think it's about 14. We had a under 15 cricket week. And then, so Fourways didn't qualify, but there was a select team. Mm. I think it was called like the North 11, something like that. Joburg North 11. So I was a part of that Joburg North team. And then that team, the tournament was played at St. Stithians. And then in that tournament, we played against your St. Davids. You played against your St. Stithians. And then, I guess fortunately for me, in one of the games that I played against St. Davids, I did well. They came and, you know, obviously inquired my whereabouts, where I'm from. And then they basically said, look, we'd like you to come to St. Davids. Come finish off your schooling. So that's how that came about.
For me... Yeah, I know St. David's is a great soccer school because they used to chow us in primary school.
They're great all-round sporting school. Yes. I think.
Football, we were strong.
Football is the strong one, yeah.
Like, from there, I'm assuming you then, you know, made it into the Lions teams, or was it that natural progression, or how did we get to, I don't want to say how did we get to captaincy, but did you, from Fourways High into what you call this thing? From Fourways High into St. David's, did you find yourself going straight to the Lions, or
yeah? So I think, I was a late bloomer.
Okay.
In my game, I think probably my last year, grade 12. That's when I really started excelling in terms of my performances.
Sure.
And then in my post-matric year, I was 17, 18. Then I became professional then.
Okay.
From there, I went to varsity. I went to UJ. I played a little bit there at UJ, but I was already professional.
Okay. When you say professional, is it like playing for a club team?
For the Lions. So I made my debut. Okay. I made my debut 2008.
First year.
Yeah. 2008, I made my debut. I was still in school then. I think once you become professional, you obviously go into the system. Things didn't happen very quickly.
Sure.
Things didn't happen very quickly because I only made my national debut 2014.
Mm.
So I had a good four or five years of kind of learning your game, understanding what you're about. Your apprenticeship. I did my apprenticeship. Here with the Lions.
Sure. Mm. Now let's get into. Let's get into the form of the game, and we'll rewind back into what 2008 looked like and what a year in cricket looks like now, where, you know, you speak of obviously entering the Lions. For me, leave Baker's Mini Cricket, but, you know, I just knew of like the one days, you know, at the time, or the day-night games, you know, 50 overs, and we're speaking about it offline, and the five-day test series, you know, whereas now, you know, the game is like fast paced. You're playing what 10, 11 months of the year. When did the game excel at this pace, or at the pace where we find ourselves now? And how have you found yourself adjusting?
So yeah, like, I mean, growing up for us, it was always about playing test cricket for the country. You know,
test cricket like the pinnacle of cricket?
The pinnacle, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's test cricket, that's where your skills get tested.
Sure.
That's essentially where the name
It's not
comes
Baker's
from.
Mini cricket, man.
We all went through Baker's. Baker's is when
bro,
we were
that's when PAGT speak. That's why because he's like,
I was on fire.
So we were both in Baker's. Just I went a different direction.
So so I mean that was always the thing for us to play test cricket. But I mean now it's all about T20 cricket. The game has become a lot more commercial.
Sure.
I think also for fans as well, it's easier for them to follow when it comes to T20 cricket, where test cricket it's a lot more technical.
Sure.
It's a little bit more complex. From a player point of view, I mean, especially the young guys now, they want to get into T20 cricket.
Sure.
You earn a lot more money playing T20 cricket.
And you earn it quicker. Get a chance to perform, excel.
Mm.
And you have the opportunity to travel a lot, play in the different they call them different leagues, T20 leagues. So like now the guys are playing in the IPL in India. But yeah, you have that opportunity to earn a lot more money. I feel though it's a lot more strenuous on the body.
I was about to get into that.
So I mean,
yeah,
those guys are playing 10, 11 months of the year.
Back to back.
They out, maybe they're outside the country for 3, 4, 5 months at a time. And look, I mean, that can test certain relationships.
It's strenuous.
It becomes tough for certain guys. But then you kind of understanding that guys are trying to make money. The other issue is that now it challenges players' loyalty to playing for their country.
Sure.
There's times where you're choosing, are you going to be the patriotic
the coins
guy?
Or
that's it. Or and what is the main motivator? Is it the money? Because from what
T20
I hear,
cricket.
T20, like your IPL is like getting the opportunity to go play soccer in Europe.
Putting money.
Versus...
It's all money.
Yeah.
The boys don't say it, but it's all
coins.
I say it for us.
No, bro. Like, look at the amount of investment that... you know, that the IPL has put into cricket. Like,
but cricket is huge in India.
It's massive.
Yeah.
But I mean, for guys not to even consider the badge at some point.
Sure, yeah.
Nah, boss, I'd rather go make money. Speaks volumes.
Speaks volumes,
you know?
Yeah.
And
But I think that's happening.
Sure.
Happening everywhere.
Sure.
Like you see it a little, I like my golf. But you see it a little bit like with the golf, you've got the
Live Golf.
Some guys are earning a billion rand there.
Sure.
So like it's happening a lot more. Don't think it's just cricket that's being.
It's the commercialization that you spoke of. It's like, how do we monetize this thing to the max?
Speaking of one of the things that you touched on, the longevity, the lifespan of a player, because you're playing, you know,
11 months
of the year. Back in the day, you know, Lance Klusner, we grew up to Lance Klusner from like primary school into high school into varsity or whatever. Or there was a long lifespan of a player in the national team. Now it just feels like, you know, names in the national team are chopping and changing
all the time.
How does a coach firstly build a team that's going to go win the Cricket World Cup or T20 with all of these things happening around? And then, to get into another point, I think captaincy. I'll rewind, but how do you navigate, you know, leading a team which is forever changing, where I don't have my lead bowler, I don't have my lead whatever, because he's in another.
Because he's now in the IPL,
making coins.
Yeah,
you know. So I know I asked quite a few things, but I think they lead into each other. Yeah,
yeah, there's definitely a high turnover of players.
Sure.
Like I think of just this previous season now, where so we had the Champions Trophy. That's a 50-over competition.
Sure.
But leading up to that, we used about 30 or 35 players.
Jeez.
Leading up to that tournament. But when you get to the tournament, you're generally always going to select your best 15.
Sure.
And sometimes it just so happens that if you are part of our best 15, but you are not part of the build-up, you end up making those type of exceptions, which sometimes is not fair on the guys who were there.
Sure. Were they, yeah, as part of the 30.
In the build-up. So, especially like countries like us, South Africa, who the rand can't compete against the dollar.
Sure.
You know, so if you're a top T20 player and you have opportunity to go earn money there,
that's ideal.
Me as a coach, I don't want to be in a position where I'm forcing you to choose between making money or playing for the country.
So you'll still get paid, but there's no way we can match.
You won't be able
what
to match.
You can,
yeah.
So it's almost like the guys are trying to work with the players, but at the same time, you still want the players to have that desire, understand that importance of playing for their country.
For the country,
you know. So yeah, I think it's becoming harder for coaches, for captains, in that you want to have your best team available. You want to have your best players available.
Sure.
Other countries, they have their best players available.
Because they're paying in pounds.
Because they can look after them.
Yeah.
So like your India, Australia, England, you know, those three guys, they kind of control.
Got you.
How that needle moves. Whereas South Africa, you know, we're not at that. Not at that stage. Yeah.
Is that sounds like a bad thing? Essentially there'll be like a talent drain for money, where it's like, and you also can't blame the guys. I'm not saying it like guys are only loyal to money, but you know, you've got this limited lifespan in the sport, and here comes the offer for serious dollars in the biggest league, you know, like, you can't blame somebody for not taking it. Me, I'd take it. Me, I'm gone, dog. I'm out. Be like, except Zimban. Sure, boy. You can't even WhatsApp the Bruce to say, come back, because it's like, this is your opportunity where this could be the best 3 years of your career.
Yeah.
You want to spend it earning the most money that you can. And I don't know, like, how do you counter that other than by strengthening the rent?
You know what I mean? That when
it's like
guys,
somebody called CR.
I mean, guys have families, you know, you're thinking of your future. It's not a sport that you get highly injured, right?
Cricket. No, cricket, you do get injured. So if you're a bowler, your injuries tend to be a lot more severe.
Mm. Shoulder, back.
Like stress fractures in your back. Mm. Yeah, like shoulders.
Also, like wear and tear. If you're a fast bowler for 10 years. I remember everyone, Makai Antini, Alan Donald, you know, all the names. They suffered with injuries because you're bowling at that pace for all those years.
Yeah.
Again, you want to maximize. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to go and do it where I'm getting the most coins.
Sure.
You see, like, it's... So, like, I feel like you need international cricket, because international cricket, that's where you make a name for yourself.
Yes, that's right? Where your
so
credibility.
So for me, it's like, if I was a young guy looking at it now, I'd push to want to play for my country. Do that as well as you can for 5-7 years. Then you can kind of start venturing into the T20 stuff, because then you go in there with a name, with a brand, with pedigree.
Yeah.
You know, because pedigree, you earn it at international level.
Sure.
Then sustainably, you can kind of make your money. But if you're a young guy and you're already thinking T20 franchises, then I feel like every year you're on audition. Every year you need to keep doing well, because you don't have that pedigree, right?
Right,
I don't really know how good you are, because you haven't been tested against other top players around the country.
Mm.
You know, where I think the young guys now, it's like, no, T20 cricket, that's where we're going.
Mm.
So you might be... You run the risk of being a one-hit wonder, you know, because you just don't have that foundation that we were forced to.
Got you.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
The ranks of the game is different. I want to ask. Speaking of being tested, and let's get into your captaincy. You know, you're the first black captain.
Yeah. No pressure.
Come on. Sorry, on the
no
other
pressure,
side.
Bro.
On the other side of that is all the pressure in the world. You know, I think the scrutiny just, you know, goes through the roof. They say dynamite comes in small packages. So how you know, how do you handle all that pressure, you know, and still keep it so cool and so calm? Because I've seen the comments. You see.
We actually, when we last year, remember when we started the show, we were commenting on the time. I think it's what was in the media, and we were saying, "Hi, you know, the team is kind of unfairly." You know, like the way that word
commentary versus the two different captaincies. Like
the way that we choose our words as journalists when describing you versus when describing other captains. Very selective, remember?
Yeah,
and we're like, ah, this man, it's like they were attacking you.
Yeah.
Did you feel attacked, or do you feel like it was warranted?
This is a safe space.
It's a safe space, bro.
So I'm out.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to find a way to answer it.
Mm.
So I was never... I mean, I never saw myself as a leader, like kind of growing up.
Sure.
I guess the people around me, they saw that.
Felt comfortable,
right?
Yeah.
I don't know what they saw, but they saw that. Captaincy was never an ambition of mine. It was never a dream of mine. So when it happened, it happened.
Sure.
And I mean, you get given an opportunity or responsibility like that, you're not going to turn it down, you know? Again, it becomes a part of your story. And I think, like, if I think about it now, looking back, I think as a country, as a cricketing system, I don't believe we were ready for it.
Sure.
We could have envisaged a situation where we're going to have a black dude leading our cricket team, leading the test team, leading all the formats. And I think that challenged a lot of our mindsets. And that's not just, that's everyone.
Sure.
Just the way that I see it. That's everyone.
Who was the coach at the time, sorry?
Coach, when I was made captain, Mark Boucher.
Okay.
My first assignment was the ODI stuff.
Yeah.
Mark Boucher, the former wicketkeeper.
It's the Eastern Cape in him,
It's
the East London. It's like, I know Nance Light.
When you say we weren't ready for it, you mean like the game of cricket?
expectations. So yeah. I mean, like you said, I'm known as the first black. So it was first black, first black batter, and then first black batter to score a test century. Then it became first black African to be captain, first black African to take us to a test final. So, you know, there's all of that, you know, and I think like being the first of something, there's a certain unfairness.
Where now you actually scrutinized more.
You know, yeah, and people expect so much, and if you don't meet that expectation, you're not going to be treated. You're not going to be treated fairly. And I think I can say that now, you know, but there
with the
in
gift
the moment,
of hindsight, yeah.
Yeah, but there in the moment, it's hard to kind of put aside the emotion.
Sure. Yeah. What were you thinking at the time? Because that time, remember, you playing the game, you're doing what you do. Mm. So whether you were captain or you were just a member of the team, you were going to be playing to the best of your ability. But now because you've got this captain label also attached to you, it's not like a normal game where you might have had a bad day. Do you know what I mean? And you get bowled out for 5 runs. Now it's like, oh, the captain got bowled out for 5. It's like, guys, I've been bowled out for 5 runs before.
So I think
Or you score a century. The captain scored a century. It's like, yeah, but I've been scoring centuries. Do you know what I mean? Now you're the one on the receiving end of that.
So you know what I find? So like, I think you got to learn to separate the two. You get the captain and the player.
Sure.
Player, obviously, I'm a batter, so your job is to score runs.
Mm.
Captain, your job is to lead the team.
The team.
So you want to try, in your own mind, separate those two things, you know? And your assessment shouldn't be based on what a journalist or what the media kind of feel. Mm. That's just me, right? Mm. And I remember coming back. We came back from one of the World Cups, 2023 World Cup, and we got knocked out in the semifinal. We did quite well in that World Cup, but there was a lot of scrutiny that came my way. And one of the journalists asked me, "What do I think about what's being said?" And I mean, I was being honest. I said I couldn't give, you know, I couldn't really care what people think, because I think for me that's how, I guess it allows me to kind of keep your emotions kind of balanced. You know, I mean, I don't want a situation where if you think the best thing sliced bread, then in my head I'm like, or if you think I'm crap, then you know you kind of get
to me.
And
then you just blurt it out, or you have
so
like
an you kind of like,
and you tell the journalist, "I got a field named after me at St. David, bitch."
This guy.
Who are you?
But our sport is tough, man. Yeah, the our sport is tough, man.
On and
responsibility,
off the field,
the pressure. The pressure is tough. It doesn't get, I don't feel it gets easier.
Sure.
I don't feel the game gets easier. I just think you just get stronger as the person.
Sure.
You know, you just, I guess the trick is to continuously find ways to capacitate yourself, you know, mentally. Find ways to get stronger, find ways to adapt to what is happening. The game is moving at a fast pace.
Mm.
So you want to adapt your game to that, but also mentally, how you're able to deal with what's in front of you, challenges, you know, overcome all of that. I think for me, that's been
Leadership. Yeah. That's leadership.
Let's talk about the leadership off the field.
Mm.
You know, if listening to you now, you're speaking obviously of balance and mindset, and those things, especially when you're at that peak, require, you know, sort of support, all the support that you need in the world, you know. And I want to come into, how does your support system look like from management, you know, family, friends? How do you manage, you know, the pressure off the field in terms of what does your off day look like besides sitting with?
Because we don't see you in the club.
Besides, thank you that I've never seen this
man. Then the scrutiny would have been worse. So it would have been like Tim Baba Vuma spotted with Waras and PA. He's fucking up his life.
Fuck, look at this guy. I mean, I've seen a few
replace
other players.
Now.
I've seen a few other players, but you know, that's him. How does cooling look for you? And you know, the support system back home, recently married man, shout out. But how does switching off look like?
For me, family is everything.
Sure.
That's my support structure.
Sure.
That's where I, you find yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. When I'm with family, they don't see you as the cricket captain. Sure. There's nothing like that. Utemba, that grew up under them. I get a lot of strength.
So you wash the dishes sometimes?
Wash the dishes, change nappies. Change nappies if you have to.
Sure.
But yeah, I get a lot of my strength there. The family in Joburg,
yes.
Rest of the family is in Cape Town. So whenever I can, I always try to go back to Cape Town.
And Cape Town is home.
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've stayed here in Joburg for a couple of years, but for me, I still feel a stronger bond to Cape Town.
It's the water.
Could be the water.
It's the
water.
It's the camp. Pay what?
Can't take East London away from me, boss.
Oh, okay.
Joburg's nice, but East London's the one.
Yeah, sure. So for me, man, family is everything. Mm. Got a supportive wife. Don't think it's easy to be in a relationship with a sportsman.
Mm. Sure.
Like I was saying, we hardly at home. You could be home. You could be away from home for 3 months. Mm. You have to be mentally strong to deal with that. I got a young one now as well.
Congrats.
Congrats.
Thanks. That's
how old?
It's just past 18 months. Yeah.
Make more, my man.
You'll be at home for that. Family.
18 months are you? It's not sleepless nights. I had 18 months.
Well, he's hardly at home, so it's not his problem. Yeah. I'm sure when you get back, your wife is like, sharp.
Your turn.
The lights, yeah.
Sure.
Family.
And then switching off, you mentioned golf. I'm assuming you
switching
are.
Off. Like I enjoy my golf.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy my golf. Got into golf recently.
Okay.
I haven't been playing golf.
Okay. I can't even ask what your handicap because.
Hey, bro, yeah.
Enjoy my golf.
Only golf I know is a GTI.
I don't have the patience for golf.
Only golf I know is a GTI.
GTI, man. You'd go straight to the IPL. It's like, sign me up now. I need the golf. I need a Vrpa.
Vrpa.
You bring the soccer mentality to cricket.
Yeah.
I like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I can.
Of all the traveling that you're doing, you still like to travel?
I still like to travel.
For recreation.
I
mentioned that you were, what is Mauritius? So where were you? You were in the water somewhere there. I just remember seeing your
last
photos.
Year I went to, I like my music events.
Okay.
I went to Afro Nation.
Yes, man, Afro Nation. Yes. Oh, yes, it was Afro Nation.
Where? Yeah. Oh, in Portugal.
Portugal, yeah.
Portugal, yeah.
We were on the other side. This man was relaxing. Me.
You were inside. Yeah. Oh, you were with the Colombians.
Eh?
This man is married.
No. Are you going this year? No?
No, not this year.
Okay.
Not this year. But yeah, I enjoy traveling. Yeah, spending time with friends, family.
Yeah.
Temba,
tell me, I wanted to ask you on the transformation chat, right? Yeah. Like hearing your story that you obviously played the game since the school level.
Yeah.
You really started excelling, like you say, around grade 12 when you went pro.
Yeah.
But again, when you are the first black captain, do you feel there's that pressure as well from the selection team to say, because of transformation, we need to put this guy on? And now it's almost like they're doing it on purpose when they say, oh, like in your words, you weren't ready. Do you feel you were ready? Like as a player, whether you black or white, you know, like I feel like this man, he played his whole life. So by the time he was given the captaincy, to say that it was because of transformation is a bit like a slap in the face.
God,
because it's
yeah,
like, guys, you. I have a field named after me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I think like
I'm the guy,
bro.
So I think any young player, right? Like as much as you have that dream of playing for your country, when that is in front of you, I think there are those doubts and insecurities of whether you've done enough, you know, or whether you're good enough to be there. And I think that goes beyond the color of your skin, you know. And that's the trick of like international cricket. It's about overcoming those doubts in your head. Now, you add our dynamic as South African cricket, and we've seen at times how undivided it can be.
Yes.
You know, it shows up itself in ugly ways.
Sure.
And
especially when the result is not.
Yeah. And I mean, us as a country, looking at our history and how we've tried to make things better, try to make the make things equal, a lot more accessible.
Sure.
You know, policies like transformation have come in. I guess the unintended side of it is that those players who have benefited from transformation, your black African dudes, your brown dudes, when you're not doing well on the field of play,
yeah, the first ones.
That's what you have to deal with, you know. And it's a swear word, you know, for if you're called a
quota
transformation quota player, selection, quota no. player, it becomes a it's a swear word.
In English, gagale.
Yeah. And that's part of that's part of nonsense, man. Dealing with it. You know, certain players don't have to deal with it. White players don't have to deal with it. But they probably have to deal with other things, you know, but as the black
deal
dudes,
with being mediocre.
That's what you.
No, well, maybe they'll then skate under the radar when they.
Yeah, that's
are.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Like they a lot of, and we may not speak about it here, but it's facts. It's a lot of guys are mediocre. They will have mid performance throughout, but find themselves, you know, consistently selected where other players have to, you know, go through a million different loops and whatnot just to scrape it and then still be called and still be labeled. An ex kind of player, which is
see for me it was weird because like having grown up the traditional boys school system,
yeah,
okay, within the teams I was always the only black guy within the team, but you were there because you knew you were better than everyone else who wasn't there. You
know, so
I mean transformation, I mean at Sachs, at St. David's, sure. it was never a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But for
good,
me
yeah.
it was only like when I made the pro tiers.
Yeah, so at a school level.
Yeah, school level.
Like top flight school level.
School level,
you know,
provincial.
You're playing first team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never dealt with that. But then, like again, it's in hindsight. I think of at the time when I made it into the national team, Umbalula, he was the sports minister then.
Okay.
And he was...
adamant.
He was like, no, we need more black dudes here, more black dudes here. So I go in with my naiveness. Obviously not understanding all of that chat, and you show up in the national team, and then there's, I think in my fourth or fifth game, I scored 100, my first test 100, and I remember this headline, all this stick in my head, Temba Bavuma, product of transformation. And this was at a time where you just done something iconic.
Yes,
you know,
for
the country.
You.
And I think in my case, that tag has always kind of been there. So when you do well, it's transformation. When you do badly, it's transformation. You know, it's not just here's a young guy who loved
the game.
Yeah.
Yes, and
game
actually just got
kid.
The century. Well,
let's just celebrate
it
as what it is.
She's good.
Yeah.
You can play the game.
So I've never felt that I've been looked about it from that point of view.
Sure.
It's always
under the gaze of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Under the guise of transformation and what transformation is. And I think that's why the scrutiny has been a lot more severe.
Severe.
Yeah.
You know?
Damn.
But then when the performances are there, then the praise is mild. It's mild
sure.
praise.
Yeah.
You know?
Just in case.
You know? The praise is it's tempered.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes sense.
It'll be like the pro tiers are performing.
Yeah,
They were led by a century from the captain.
Yes.
Or, you know, great performance from the
it's just part of what it is.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how I try. I'm not trying to be spiritual or philosophical about it, but like for me it's like it is what it is. It's part of who I am, it's part of my story. It's not gonna necessarily define who I am. I think the fact that I don't take myself serious, I think that helps as well.
Yeah.
But
sure.
It is what it is. Like I can come and cry and say, hey, Abelungu, the this and that.
Yeah.
But that's not gonna take you anywhere.
Anywhere.
I've seen it a lot with some of the black dudes within the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you start allowing that to get into your head,
got
it kills
you.
You.
Got you.
It
kills you. You can't. It kills you.
Sure.
You'll find it hard to be yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of that, how's the culture? You know, call it the locker room culture nowadays versus you know back in the day. I think you've also seen that transformation of you know the culture shifting where it's like before. You know, I think I was it was it Tando who was telling me about his father's treatment to Makaya, how it was back then versus now. Like, can you give us some insight on how the culture has shifted, you know, off screens and off the field?
I think now definitely it'll be a lot more integrated.
Because the schools, it's integrated from a school level.
Yeah. Sure. So a lot of us, I mean, we come through those systems. So you become one of the boys, you know, you assimilate to that culture.
You went to 4 years high, you became one of the booties. As a booty. As a timber.
You know, so you know the culture, you can speak their language.
Is it still, you know, I was watching, sorry to cut in, just to make reference, I was watching, what's that book thingy, the Sunrise, Chasing the
Sun.
Yeah, and in the lockers, it's still heavily Afrikaans, you know? And I think of Wapimbi, who has to like now and just try, besides the folk, like, what are you know, they're talking about something. They with all the constant swearing, but then it's led in Afrikaans. Is that in cricket as well?
I mean, the guys speak Afrikaans, but you'll also get the guys that speak their vernac. So,
okay. Yeah.
I mean, the guys are not scared. I'm not scared to speak his Xhosa or Rabada. He's not scared to speak his Tswana. And there's no offense taken.
Sure.
You know?
No, from an integration perspective, to say, okay, leave on the field if I'm telling Rabada like Paul, you know, towards off stump. I'm just making an example. Or I'm saying in the locker, and
it's free.
It's guys, free,
no? Guys speak.
Or white guys eating a makuhinya or
no, I've never seen that.
Do not to that extent.
I've never seen that.
Sure. It's the other way, bro. Tim was eating scones.
Sure.
No, it's free, man. The guys are free.
Mm.
It helps that we've been playing with each other, for you know, since time, school. Yeah. Okay. So we all know each other. You know how good the other guy is. So there's no looking at him sideways or anything that.
I think that's important because, you know, like what you mentioned about at the time when Mbax was the minister, at the politics level, they're having a very different chat to the actual 15 guys that are playing the game. Where the 15 guys that are playing the game are like, Temba's our guy. We know this man. We practice with him every day.
He's been we play with him all year.
Mm. We know how good he is.
Sure.
Then, because the viewing public sees the match, you understand, that's sort of like, it's an hour out of a month.
And they hear what's being said.
Yes. Sure. And then the players hear what's being said and they're like, that is not accurate at all. You know, because we are here. So you've got the politics chat of it and then you've got the locker room chat of it.
Sure.
And I think, isn't that the more important one? Because those are the guys, bro. Yeah. Those are the people that you're playing alongside.
On the field, definitely.
So we always speak about protecting our space within the team. Don't allow outside noise to filter into the team. So I guess all the good stuff that we focus on, we want to focus on that and kind of block out anything else. Idealistically it sounds good, but it becomes very hard. You know, it can become very hard if a board member from Cricket South Africa says, hey, you must do this.
Ish.
Those are your bosses, right? Sometimes you might have to do it.
And what do they know?
I want to find something out, ne? So rest in peace, Hansi. You know, there was that accusation of what is this?
Cheating
and match fixing. With all of what's going on now with IPLs and you know, all the, even the betting companies are now involved in cricket. Obviously, you don't have to say anything, but like, is that not something you now have to consider, where it's like you're invited to a dinner with this particular...
With the Guptas.
With the Guptas. How do you navigate through that stuff where it's just like, oh no, here's a donation for this or this, that, the other. Does that still happen?
There's a donation for your foundation.
Does that still happen in cricket? Or how do you navigate around that?
We're a lot more educated.
Sure.
So every year we have inductions about match fixing, drug abuse.
Sure.
So you kind of, you should know what you need to do. For, yeah. You know. So if you come and say, Temba, let's have dinner. I mean, in the dinner, you make an approach. You know, you say, here's X amount of money. I want you to to tell me your team.
Sure.
You know, I'm obligated then to go inform the authorities.
Sure.
You know, my the team manager, and then he'll take it up to the officials.
Okay.
If you don't do that, then that's when you start getting into trouble. And now the guys also come in through the foundations. Mm. So I mean, there within the foundations, you got to do your
due diligence. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, now we're a lot more educated.
Sure. I ask because there's so much investment into the game.
Yeah, the more money there is in the game,
the money will take different shape. You know, it won't just come in the form of obviously like an envelope or whatnot. It comes in. Oh yeah, let's discount your holidays, or let's pay for your holiday guarantee. That's someone trying to, you know, I would assume that's the case. So, freebies.
I haven't gone through that. Sure. I haven't heard, to be honest with you. But I mean, Hansi, I think those were the real, real early days.
Sure.
And I guess they got entangled in all of that. But now, if you get into it, then
you're super greedy.
I feel like you were willing,
But also, also must probably be super greedy because the amount of money that is in cricket,
why would you ask for more?
Millions more. Mm.
I guess money is money, you know. What's enough for me is not enough for
the next guy.
You know? So,
true.
Yeah.
Ketty is waving at me saying, Chief. And someone said in the comments, dog, that this thing of me driving, hey, we've got a show to run. So I don't want to say it, but Ketty is just like, comments.
Ketty.
So to that person killing me in the comments, please, it's not me. It's
don't kill us.
Yeah,
don't kill us. I was going to ask in terms of you, because now, you know, like you are senior now. You know what I mean? Like you're a grootman now. So I suppose the pressure as a grootman leader is more. Because now, like you were saying earlier, these young boys that are coming up, you know what I mean? Mm. I think those are very wise words. Mm. You know, like increase your credibility before you increase your bank balance. Play for the national team, etc. When it comes to that, you know, your personal journey versus what you see being the challenges for others' personal journeys. There could be a kid out there that's, you know, like very good in grade 7, moving on to the high school part.
Sure.
Mm. Where do you think we are lacking, and where do you think work needs to be done so that there can be more Themba Bavumas? You know,
I think mentorship that's a big thing. Mm. Having people around you, not necessarily like cricket coaches, but having people who have made it,
sure,
in their spaces, mm, who've overcome whatever the challenges that they've gone through. I think the lessons, the IP you can get from those people, I think for me is immense. And I think, like, if you look at some black families versus white families generally the mother, the father is there.
They're very supportive.
They've done well in their careers. You know, they're there, you know.
And they can take off work and come watch the game because they're bosses where they work.
They can come and support.
So be like, I want to watch my son's cricket game. Cheers. Whereas black family.
Sometimes with us, you know, your dad has to work a 9-to-5. You know, so he's not able to be there at practice. He's not able to be there at your match. You know, he's not able to make sure the coach is giving you the opportunity that you require because he's always there. You know, so I think that support system, I mean, I call it mentorship, I think is a big thing. I think that's something that I've started getting right only like in my last couple of years, where I have people who outside of cricket, more corporate guys who are in executive positions. And by chatting to them, you get a different perspective on how on how you do things, but also how you respond or deal with situations. I mean, that didn't have to happen when I was 32 or 31. When you take a boy that's 15, that maybe plays cricket from Soweto or Ikakhis or wherever it is, and he has that access, I think it just makes him more capacitated to mentally and emotionally deal with what comes for the game. Because the game is tough. Especially as a black dude, the game is tough. You're not gonna go through the same as what a Jason goes through.
Sure.
You know, the game is tough. So if mentally you don't have those skills, gonna struggle, dude. Mm. Like, at some point, it's gonna chow you up. I think mentorship is a big thing. I can give you the equipment, you know. I can give you a bat, give you a nice bat, give you nice cricket shoes. Yeah. Mm. That's fine.
Pads. Mm.
But like, if I don't give you, if I don't give you the mind,
mindset,
then. Mm.
Baker's mini cricket.
Gonna come of it.
Yeah. Baker's mini cricket. And that's, I think that's an important thing, coupled with, you know, I think we spoke on two things now, which is the structures of having, you know, support systems, right? But also then there's this thing where, and I think we spoke about it in rugby, where the disappearance of players who were stars in high school, right, get into the system of maybe like the local franchises. And this is someone who was destined to make the local team. Mm. But because there was no support, they're not able to navigate this now franchise level, you know, where guys are out partying, or you don't know where your stop sign is, right? Or you don't know how to navigate bad media, and you say things in return, as opposed to if there was a system.
Or you do things in return.
Yeah, or you do things in
like
return.
That, let me
as
show
opposed
you.
To if there was some form of, you know, structural or system or support system or mentorship that I think it's lacking in rugby, and I think in cricket as well, and a lot of the sports, even in soccer, that kind of support. And I think that's where black professionals should be, you know, chipping.
Stepping in. Look, in soccer, it's non-existent. We have a debate on this show.
I saw the guys who from the Pirates game yesterday out and about.
Is it? Wow.
But I'm not
surprise,
mention
surprise.
Any.
Yeah. And how did that game go?
Oh, they won.
Yeah, at Orlando Stadium.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I still think, though, like, there's still an element of you being a person, you know? So, like, if I bump into you at Chameli, I don't think it's a case of...
So, you go to Chameli.
Yeah, I just use that because that's close by, you know?
Alessandro.
Call Alex.
Pounce this man, don't you?
So, I think there's still that element of guys being human,
sure.
You know? But, like, you know, I can in sport generally, like, discipline is a big thing.
Sure.
And that's a skill that you learn.
Sure.
You know, you learn discipline at school, in your households.
Sure.
That's a skill that you need. Ambition, you need the ambition. Mm-hmm. That's why I speak about like the mentorship and the support system, because I think that allows you to continuously keep believing that you can be who you are.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it becomes tough if let's just say, Mkambi, you've grown up in Soweto, you go into St. David's and everything is nice, and then you have to go back to Soweto. You know,
that's tough.
Is tough. Whereas for us, it's like we were in those systems 24/7. We were in that environment 24/7.
Sure.
Even if you mess up, you know, there's people who kind of pull you back, you know. And that's what I had. So by no stretch of imagination was I perfect. I was never the captain in any of my teams. I was always the naughty guy and all
so
of
you
that.
So could afford to mess up.
There were people who kind of pulled me back into line. Whereas the other black dudes, one mistake, you're gone.
Sure.
You know, it was like, we gave you this opportunity, you're not grateful, you're gone.
Or they're on some, from Soweto.
So yeah, I keep coming back to the same thing. The support, your support structure is...
super important, huh?
Yeah.
Essential. Ketsi, sorry.
It's yes, Ketsi. What would you like us to do, sir?
Ketsi the boss.
Is our support system.
Ketsi is our support system.
Do you recognize this style, this bag? Of course you do. For the past more than 30 years, we have been OEM factory for most of the luxury brands around the world. Gucci, Prada, Coach, Louis Vuitton, you name it. But for this, I am not proud, because we were only making our wages. The profit margin for the people who are actually making the bags are very low. What I'm really proud of is that, first, we have the best quality control. Two, we have the best craftsmanship. You know, Chinese craftsmen are always intelligent and diligent. Three, we have the most complete supply chain. We always get what we want, like zippers, accessories of any kind, any color, and leathers immediately. Now, as the USA and its little European brothers are trying to refuse Chinese goods, don't you think luxury brands are not trying to move their OEM out of China? Yes, they did. But they failed. Because the OEM factories out of China, they don't have good quality control and they don't have as good craftsmanship. Their workers are either too expensive or too lazy. Three, they don't have any supply chain. They always have trouble getting leather or zippers or any accessories. That is why they failed, and that is why we will always be the best OEM factory for luxury brands. Why don't you just contact us and buy from us? You won't believe the prices we give you.
So yeah, very interesting in what's happening in the world. So obviously Trump and his tariffs.
And the tariffs, yeah. So Trump and Xi are in this fight. Back and forth, right?
So
China's fighting hard.
Yeah, so China, I think over the weekend, just flooded TikTok with and debunking what luxury or what what's perceived as luxury. Yeah. So they're saying the same belt, the same
Bag
designer stuff that you guys buy at exorbitant prices come from the same conveyor belt where Sisbani that's selling
there by Bruma.
There by Bruma or what's that street? Is it a small street, selling the LV for $70? You know, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah. So that video is basically saying that we actually hold the world by the balls in terms of we, the entire thing, create the entire bag.
The entire value chain.
All these guys do is that they take the product that's finished with us and then go package it and put a stamp of made in Italy, made in France, and fuck with your mentality, you know. So,
but very, and another thing is like the Chinese have been very big on, you know, there's this perception that if something is Chinese, it's cheap. And it, like I was watching these TikToks were coming up on my timeline. They are trying to change that narrative to say, no, the QC that we do here is actually like next level. Yeah. Shows competition between Chinese is so tough that you are required to have quality controls that are second to none.
Sure.
Otherwise, PH's factory that's next door will get your business because you don't have to work with me if I'm fucking up.
Sure.
You can literally go next door and that guy can sort out what you need. So this perception that because it's made in China, it's cuck, is not the case. It's that no one's going to compare to the volumes that we push. Sure. We make this stuff. We've got the best artisan.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect type of thing.
Sure.
And with TikTok shop, millions and millions of videos. So it's almost like the manufacturers have taken it upon themselves to say, you know what, fuck this tariff shit. Sure. We're actually just going to skip everything, cut out the middleman, and speak directly to the consumer and say, Xe, you want bags? Don't worry about Trump.
Come to us.
Come to us. We can send you the bag now.
Sure.
There was one I saw that was like...
You've been selling in bulk.
The courier service, right? They're like, no, we manage that entire courier service shit. So if you need it, I can ship the stuff to you now.
Same time.
Same time. And it'll land at XYZ ports and you don't have to... Sure. We handle customs duties.
Sure.
You just receive.
I'm even waiting for a Temu delivery. I'm just like, the show's happening. I'm looking at my call log. I'm like, hey, when's that thing? When is that thing arriving? No, but the Chinese are really gonna fight a different fight to what
the Americans
expect. And they're gonna and at the end of the day, it's the consumer which is gonna struggle.
Yeah.
You know? Even now when I was watching that thing, I was like, ish, my Gucci shoes, which I had to stand in a line for. These guys are basically saying, Chief, don't worry.
Yeah, we can send you 10 Gucci shoes.
For the price that you paid for the one.
On the comments, like the comments underneath the tweet, people were saying, this proves Trump's point. All that they do is undercut Western markets and make money from all sides.
Who?
Chinese. American politicians on both sides sold us out. They all got rich while the West crumbled. And then a lot of people obviously are just jumping on the trend and they're saying, look, as much as this seems like it's a good move, it's not a good move. What they're confused about is what makes somebody buy a luxury bag. Because you know the whole
it's the marketing.
Thing. Yes.
It's the marketing.
Is that I want to feel like when I go to Diamond Walk, everyone must see I bought my shit at Diamond Walk.
Sure.
When I know I can go get the same bag at it's China Mall. There,
yeah. Sure.
Do you know what I mean? You want that air of luxury that comes with and the status that comes with owning the luxury bag. However, if you have one luxury item, PH's Gucci shoes are from the Gucci store, right? But if PH had to go to China Mall and buy five more Gucci shoes, no one is going to say, PH is wearing fake Gucci shoes. Because it's PH.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's almost like what they're saying is, okay, buy your one Birkin.
And then come and rock.
And then come and rock five. Because now there's a video, there's proof that you were at Fifth Avenue.
Sure.
Buying this item. Mm. So no one's going to know, type of thing. You know what I'm saying? So out of every 10 bags, one is real.
Sure.
Buy the other 9 from us and we're completely happy with that.
It's tricky. Do you buy yourself something?
Where did you get these Louis Vuitton?
Maybe I went there to my rubber stack.
Smart man.
But because... You are a captain.
No, I jump in.
I jump in.
That's true. People won't question.
They won't question.
That's the next thing. Most of I mean, people like, media. Yeah. They'll be like, Temba Bavuma buys fake stuff at Bruma.
No, in fact, it would have even been harder where it's like whether you go left or right, they're going to judge him anyway. It's like if you're in small street, he's in small street. If you are going to
Diamond Walk,
look, it's tough.
You can't win.
But yeah, anyways, tell me what's next. How long are you on holiday for? And then obviously, what are you prepping for? Prepping for the rest of the year. I mean, it's odd that we say the rest of the year now when you've got what, most probably like 7-10 or maybe even more. Mm. You've got like a full calendar of cricket till about this time next year.
To at least the end of the year. So it's our international break.
Sure.
We get together again end of May. Mm. We prep for the World Test Championship final that's happening in London. That's going to be the focus on my side.
I saw something that was saying that there's no more Christmas game and New Year's in...
So yeah, this year, I don't think it's ever happened before.
I was like, what do you mean? Like
for this year?
Yeah, so the Boxing Day matches, like those two matches, the...
Boxing Day and New Year's.
Boxing Day and New Year's, you know, are like one of the most exciting games to look forward to, you know, at that time of the year.
Yeah.
And it's usually with like the big teams, India, Australia, have we ever done England?
England we have, yeah.
England, yeah. And now, we're scrapping that.
So now, there's no local international cricket, if that makes sense.
Insane.
So we're not going to be playing as the Proteas. We won't be playing in the country this year.
What?
I think the only fixture will be next year, February.
What?
Yeah. So
Why?
Should get our bosses there and ask them.
Phone them.
Can't you call Cricket South Africa there?
Look, not people are not happy. They're not happy, but yeah, that's the situation.
See, that's
not great.
You
can do about that.
No, there's nothing.
That's a decision that
takes place. So they go and they.
So remember,
we spoke about those three: India, England, Australia.
Sure.
They basically control things.
Yes.
Right. And how they control things is that. So they negotiate matches. So the countries negotiate who plays against who.
Yes.
But if I'm in India, I make my most money playing against you as
Australia.
England or you as Australia. Mm. I don't really make a lot of money playing against South Africa.
Really?
So yeah, you know, they won't. It's more a broadcasting thing.
Oh, okay.
And obviously
TV
because
rights.
Of the
okay.
rand
okay.
versus the dollar okay. and okay. the pound okay. and all of that. So economically or financially, when they sit down on the table, they say, okay, we're gonna play. X amount of games with you as England, play X amount of games with you as Australia, and then we'll see where everyone else kind of fits in.
Fits in, yeah.
So when I as South Africa, you kind of need to wait for them to decide, and then when you come in. But it also becomes a trade-off for you as South Africa. So I guess our trade-off was where we gave away playing in December, in January. Obviously, for the purists of the game, that doesn't go down well.
Sure.
Even for us as players, I mean, that's what we're used to.
Yes.
You know,
Christmas is
Boxing
home,
Day, we're
least.
Playing here, SuperSport Park in Pretoria, and then New Year's,
Newlands.
We're playing in Cape Town.
Mm.
You know, those are the things we've always looked forward to. But I mean, like we were speaking about with the landscape of the cricket.
But the game is,
we spoke about the players, but also at that level, that board level, that's where... No, but they also fighting.
Mm.
They're also fighting.
So, historically or institutions like West Indies aren't like big names in cricket anymore.
Struggle.
What?
They struggle.
Sri Lanka?
They'll struggle. So like you get those big three, then South Africa, because we always perform well, you know, so we're always competitive. So teams will always want to play against us.
Sure.
You know? Then you get New Zealand as well, super competitive.
Sure.
It's basically like it, then there's it a sounds big like gap. In order of currency.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the strength, because you know, like what, once you get to the economics of it,
sure,
those are the countries that have got
that's what
the
determining
power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even from like a TV rights perspective, you know, you're never gonna outsell England. Yeah. Forget about it.
India's always been badass when it comes to like TV rights.
100%. But insanity. It's also numbers. They've got like 2 billion people. Yeah. So you know they could have a game every single day at the stadium and it'll be packed.
Packed, yeah.
We would struggle to hit those type of numbers. Gotcha. You know what I mean? Their stadiums are bigger. So it's not fair. But it is what it is, type of
thing. Yeah, like you said, the broadcasting rights, number of eyes on the TV, what SuperSport is willing to pay us will be different to if an India comes in.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the economics at the end of the day.
That's very interesting. I didn't think yo, to that man. Scale.
Mm.
Okay, I'll go.
And it just so happens that in the game of cricket, those are the countries. And so it's like India doesn't have a rugby team.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
So they'll maximize the on cricket, yeah.
Yes. But if you think about soccer, we also, like, we can't even compare because there's bigger soccer teams, bigger soccer leagues, bigger soccer. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So if we're not getting
because the Pirates the main players. Stuff,
yeah, it's not because, it's purely because the economics of it it's just work out that way.
Because the Pirates play Zoid Louis after the game. Because the Pirates and Chiefs
Well, the cricket players are Jamili, though.
Well, at least you have a pasta.
Choose your Sunday. Yeah.
But yeah.
We're going to get into WhatsApp leaks with Mbuzi the sheep.
The goat. Let's Mbuzi get it. The goat.
Moment of silence. I just want to talk to Lama Chancellor that robbed me yesterday. These niggas try to steal my wool. Winter's coming. And then I'm like, hey. And then I'm like, duck, hey. Bantata li chay. Bantata li pasta. Eka si bambizu steal wool. They don't call me Steel Wool for nothing. You tried to rob me. Zatoya! Anyway, what's up, everybody? Guys, the substitute teacher at our school got caught stuffing maize meal and baked beans into her handbag. She said, these kids are eating better than me. I'm just leveling up the field. The headmaster nearly fainted when he saw beef stock cubes that fell off her bra when she was being searched. She claims it's not theft, it's educational redistribution. We know what that is, right?
Distribution.
Did that work out? Moment of silence. Apparently, she's also been trading jungle oats for airtime at the Pakistan shops. I'm not gonna say it! Are you serious, my friend? My friend? Are you serious, my friend? Let me leave it there. Bye.
So it sounds like what it's a
sounds like someone snitching.
No, well, not even snitching. They caught the old lady.
And the old lady taking takeaways.
So I remember. Say a feeding. I was about to get to feeding schemes. Are feeding schemes still a thing in schools? Is it? So
some schools,
I guess. And obviously, like what? Yeah, the child arrives, and you know they distribute it
to the kids.
To the kids, I've always known that teachers also
they dabble.
Well, there was a surplus. Isn't I assumed there was a surplus of food, or are they taking from the kids' food?
Well, you won't know it's surplus until everybody's eaten.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You need to let everybody chow first.
Sure.
You can't just be like, you are chowing, let me also chow.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And also, you're not even eating it there, you're taking it home.
Home.
It's a little bit...
So that's the wrong take it easy.
Yeah, it's frowned upon.
So that's the wrong take it easy and take it home.
That's the wrong... That's why I take it easy. And if it's easy, take it home. It's no longer a way of life. That one was cool. 2008, Sava UJ.
Sure.
I know.
Manje, not the feeding scheme.
They are short.
Good. But
stuff
yeah.
Is short.
Shout out to Mbuzi the Goat. Captain, my captain, thank you for your time. It's valuable. Thank you for... You know the words, and yeah, man, just thank you for sharing your story. We are proud of you. Continue leading us and bring back the trophy. Is it this year or next year? Well, there's a champions
June.
June.
This year, June.
When's the 50 overs World Cup? When is?
So we're hosting it in 2027.
Oh, is it?
Mm. South Africa's hosting it 2027.
Dope. And then the T20 follows the year after that.
Or the T20 World Cup next year.
Oh, so it's the year before.
2026.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so India, it's the year before. Think, yeah. Where's that?
I think that's in India.
India.
I think that's in India. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Dope. And yeah. Okay, cool. We're excited. Thank you.
Yeah. Please invite us to Jumeli.
Please invite us.
Because you are married now.
So I don't know about Jumeli. I want to go to the
cricket. I'm there for the food. I don't know if you guys are talking about I'm there for the food.
I want
to
go watch.
We go to the Grand for the food.
Wait. So there's no Pink Derby as well?
There's no Pink Day. No Pink Day. Day this year, no.
Except.
There will be no
The
Pink
calendar's
Day.
Cut, ne?
That's crazy.
But a lot of the games you're playing is overseas. So the cricket is there, it's just that nothing is here at home.
Nothing local. Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, not that? Much. Nothing
this year.
What does that mean for like
the national team?
We're trying to sign off. But now we want to ask, what does that mean for the economics of the stadiums? Like, besides the local franchise.
I guess you can go watch the domestic stuff.
Yeah, but besides that.
People don't really go show up in those games.
Mm.
But yeah, for the national team, there's nothing this year. Sanibona next year.
You?
Sanibona next year.
Yeah. Cricket South Africa, we're coming for you. We're going to call someone there. Come and explain.
Do something.
Come and explain. Yeah, what's going on? Either that or we're going to start throwing festivals in those cricket stadiums.
Yeah, otherwise give us those stadiums.
I threw a party. What's that? Kingsmead. Yeah, because Kingsmead.
Durban. Yes.
Man, it cost me an arm and a leg, but I had to cover the cricket field. Yeah.
And I was saying to you at Wanderers.
Mm.
Remember, I said to you, hey,
we must know.
I started doing like events.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a problem with the neighbors, man.
There's no cricket game, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, neighbors.
Deal with us.
Yes.
Deal with us.
It was also. No, there's a lot of events at Wanderers.
They
end early though. It's not
that's
like
the problem.
They're always like there's these like these run things. Mm.
Yeah.
Gay Pride was there.
What's that other? Is it not the Discovery Run? What's that corporate run? JP Morgan.
Yeah, there's no.
Yeah, there's a
yes,
run.
Yes, yes, with all the corporates. Yes.
What?
They shut down. They like organized pro because I live in that area.
Oh, yeah. So close.
I mean, sorry. Yeah. Can't get into my house. We're going to go all the way around. The roads are closed.
Bloody blacks.
Yeah. I was like, who are you, blacks? No, it was whites. Flat out, bro.
Yeah.
They had like floodlights. You know when it's whites, the thing is organized.
Oh, yes.
So now I couldn't get into my own neighborhood because they were like, you don't live here. Oh, this is that way. So.
Brother, thank you very much, Mansabulela. And that's how we're going to close it off. Like, subscribe, comment, share. And we appreciate the feedback that you give us in the comment section.
So does Getsy.
So does Getsy. Yeah, so does Getsy. But yeah, Captain my Captain, go and lead us. Go well.
Cool.
And we'll see you next year this time when we're speaking trophies.
Yes, sir.
Speaking
take trophies. It easy. And if it's easy, take it home.
Take that cup home. Yeah, that's the only... But it won't be easy. But yeah, we're out of here.
But I'm not in season.